afternoon. Today is Wednesday, July the 16th, 201st day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County Supervisor, Mr. Back-to-Back, Rex Bone.
Hey, glad I could fill in.
No, today's your real one.
Today's my real one. I filled in last week.
You filled in last week on Monday.
Yeah, that's fine.
So this afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about the tax initiative, I guess. That could be what we call it, that the Supes voted on last week. Yeah. We'll talk about why it's as much as it is or why it isn't more, because there was certainly discussion in that area also. So we'll see what this means, what it means to all of us when we come back.
From your trip to Latin America, you are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. 1790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. But before we do, let's see if we can find a tax quote. What do you think the odds on that are?
Pretty good.
Well, I just passed stupidity, so I know I'm in the neighborhood.
They go hand in hand.
Here we go. Taxes. Millicent Fenwick. You remember her?
Millie.
No. She was legit. She was real. Quote, it's been said that one man's loophole is another man's livelihood. It certainly is not fair because the loophole livelihood of those who are reaping undeserved benefits can be the economic noose of those paying more than they should. Okay. Kind of got the tenor of this
there's
thing
a,
now, Kevin.
There's a certain amount of...
attitude there?
Yeah, you think?
Yeah.
I can hear that.
So what are we looking at? What are we talking about with this measure that's going to be on the fall ballot?
Well, it's a 0.5% sales tax countywide, incorporated and unincorporated areas. We had originally looked at just doing unincorporated, and our polling showed that the people were in favor of everybody being involved. Now, with that being said, we also found that we couldn't just do the unincorporated areas.
It has to be.
The Assembly is supposedly trying to pass a bill, or it has legislation in place to address that, but it wouldn't be in time for us to...
So if that's the case, and that's how it's playing out, does that negate the need for Fortuna to do what Fortuna was talking about and Arcata to take care of what Arcata was and Eureka to take care of those? Or is this going to be an addition and these dollars all go into the county coffers and don't go to the city?
The 0.5% will go into the county coffers. And with that and with the 1% that Fortuna is doing and I believe the measure, I think it's Q, that they're continuing the city of Eureka.
Zombies? Yeah.
But city of Eureka has had in place for the last 5 years. They're re-upping that for another 5 years. That money will stay with them, and this will be on top of that. And with that, you know, we provide so many services to incorporated and unincorporated, i.e. the jail, the district attorney's office. I mean, all the services that the incorporated don't provide. So, and with the cities, and we've been in contact with them because the message is pretty much going to be the same. The money, and I know it's used as a scare tactic more, you know, everybody feels it's a scare tactic, but we are at a critical stage with our public safety. And it's, you know, we think public safety because when we have a problem outside our house, when we hear something go bump in the night, we call the sheriff. We don't call the tax collector. We don't call the assessor. We don't call the probation office. But our probation office, with the implementation of AB 109 and I was just reading some statistics that that hasn't worked as well as they predicted it would work. But with AB 109, yeah,
you mean worked?
Yeah, AB 109, we have six hundred serious offenders, I think, is what Bill Damiano called them, that they have to supervise on probation. Well, his staff is getting to the point where he doesn't have enough people to handle the supervision of those people, and they need to be supervised. They need to be put into job training. They need to be under guidance, so they don't, you know, they don't recommit. That's the biggest thing we have to do. And we've got people, and they tend to recommit. I mean, that's
yeah. The recidivism is a big deal.
Recidivism is huge.
I don't think anybody questions that. It's just, you know, you add up what the city has, and some cities, you know, they've got their premiums on top. You're looking at almost 9%.
We're looking at 8.5%.
California.
But, yeah.
Well, yeah. Okay, 8.5. Then you throw in the cities.
No, you're looking at 8. We're only going for 0.5%. We're at 7.5 now.
States at 7.5.
We're at 7.5.
Some of the cities are up to 3/4. I think Trinidad is. I'm thinking of Trinidad.
Yeah, and it's kind of and you're right. And the problem being is whether they're a small city or a big city, they all suffer the same problems. The major problems that we're having. And
true. But yeah. What I'm thinking, you know, the problem we have with leakage, and I don't think I see leakage as a higher issue at this point when you're going to the internet and buying a whole bunch and the tax dollars don't happen.
Well, that's a huge.
Okay, you go to Oregon or you go to Nevada or you go to Arizona and those tax dollars do not come in. And, you know, maybe 8.5 isn't that big a deal. But when you're buying a $1,000 item, now you're talking $80. It's only an hour away.
And Brian, you can address this as well as anybody because I know you for business you have to go into Oregon. That Fred Meyer store in Brookings is absolutely
amazing.
Two-thirds
of it is California plates.
It's amazing how many people from California. I know it's Crescent City a lot, but it just absolutely amazes me when I recognize people. And I don't get up there that often, but I recognize people. Oh, we came up to Fred Meyer. Well, if you're going to go up there and buy your electrical items, you know, a TV, your big ticket
larger items,
washer and dryers and things like that. That's a huge chunk of change coming out of it creates a double effect.
I'm wondering if the county, well, and the car guys certainly see it also. I wonder if the county has the opportunity to get the information to find out where are these sources of leakage, where does it come from and where does it go? So that'll be the tease. We'll be back.
Nearly half a century in the news business should count for something. I'm Dave Silverbrand, and that's how long I've been watching the world go by. Now it's time to put it in perspective. Join me each weekday for a look at local news and views and what they mean to you from my perspective. Dave's Take Two on KWSW 3 times each day during the 8, noon, and 5 o'clock hours. Or read them on our website, kwsw980.com.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. Rex, as we look at the reasons for a proposed tax increase, you know, you got one side, okay, the monies, the allocation, et cetera, aren't as strong as they used to be. The financial responsibility is larger on the county's back. Okay. So how do you get more money? Whether it's retail, whether it's leakage, wherever it happens to come from in whatever form the state of California has in its current shell game. Got it. The other side is the demand. Okay, now I know that there's some prevention programs that are going on that we're trying to do things so that the guys and gals wearing the badges don't have as much to do. Okay. Is this a double-pronged approach? Or is this, we need more money, let's throw more money at it, rather than trying to figure out how do we do this differently?
No, because I was looking at just not our total budget, but, you know, away from state and federal, just our general fund expenses, which, you know, public safety and a lot of that that comes out of. In 08-09, it was $87,549,000. By 10-11, by 11-12 budget, we got it down to $80,000,000 800,000. almost, that's that 10%. We keep talking about the 10% cuts. They made it from 09 to 11 and 12. I mean, and that was cutting a lot of the fat off. I mean, the sheriffs, the assessor's office, the supervisor's office, all the offices across the board were somewhere between, you know, up to 10% or more. I mean, last year it bumped up a little bit with the health care costs. This year it's jumped almost a little under $88 million, and the majority of that is we're going to have to put on, you know, a majority of that is the health insurance. The our PERS costs have skyrocketed with the retirements. These aren't the unfunded mandates. These are things that we have to hit off right off the get-go.
Almost fixed cost.
They're fixed costs. This isn't DHHS and our state and federal. This is what it costs to run this huge conglomerate of 4,000 square miles we call Humboldt County. That's, you know, with that, we try to make those rural roads passable. I mean, bearable and passable. And I mean, I was out to patrol you this week, and it's tough. The crews do a great job, and I'll say that every time we have a meeting, I'll say our road crews do a lot with very little. Bill Damiano does a lot with probation.
The taxes as a percentage of our income are going up, have gone up over the years, over the decades. Go back as far as you want. Okay. So where are those increased dollars going? Is this government just drift over the last 30 or 40 years and an expectation that instead of the bones taking home 90% of what they make, they're only going to be taking home 72%?
I'd be happy with that.
Like it's going.
I mean, then, I think in 1960 our sales tax was, what, 3%? Is that right it was?
3%? Yeah, then 6 was going to be a temporary from 5, and then 7 was just short.
7 was going to be short, and I mean, I think they still use the old, I kind of like to have that analogy, where they put the money in for they put a small tax in for the Spanish War, and it's never gone off the books. I mean, they chronologically show that.
It just
stuff.
Keeps building and building and building. And there's some additional cost, but in theory, if your economy is somewhat healthy, you're able to pace with that.
I don't know if our economy is healthy yet. I mean, I think it's feeling better out there. I don't know if it's looking better.
I don't think. I mean, you go back to the '60s with the timber guys and the employment base and the numbers of employed. I mean, it's not
all our kids didn't come out of school and go to work and couldn't have a job at the timber mill. They go work for George. They go to work for LP. And you're seeing it now.
Those folks aren't living here anymore.
No, a lot of them.
So do we have that much more criminal activity going on? Is that another byproduct of the drug culture we have here?
I definitely blame it on the drug culture, and I mean just because I've grown up through it and seen it, and I'm on the streets. I've been around. I haven't been sheltered at all, and I'm seeing so many kids that had been involved in our Little League program or weren't involved in our Little League program, but you knew them through when your kids go through school. You you see them and they have a blank look, or they're walking the streets. It's sometimes amazing, and it's the combination of the cheap methamphetamine that creates the anxiety and then the mental illness and the trials and tribulations go with that. You know, you talk to the police chief and the sheriff, and he says you would be absolutely amazed the amount of heroin and who's taking it on the streets. I mean, that used to be a junkie's drug, you think, and it's become a popular drug for people to use.
Why doesn't mainstream know how much of this stuff is going on and see some of these things? Because, you know, there's a tipping point for California, and I think we've exceeded it. There are businesses and business people leaving the state. Period, end of story. It doesn't matter how large the economy is. It's still upside down. You're seeing all these additional mandated things that are going through that you guys are having to wrestle, whether it's out of the state or the feds, taking more money to operate. You know, at what point do you say, hey, wait a minute, you know, we need to look at the model here. We have to look at things instead of just going to the employed and saying, okay, we need a little more. Yeah. Okay, we need a little bit more. Yeah. We need a little bit more, regardless of how great the functions are. Are we just? It seems like it's spiraling, even though you don't.
Are some of these
see
things
those
if they're so needed? Is there a way private sector can do it and benefit out of it. I mean, I don't know.
If it's needed, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there is a profit motive in there anyway, even if there's government.
Even if it's government, it has to be, you know, and I've mentioned that before. Government isn't to make money. It's just not to fail. You know, government isn't supposed to make money.
Well,
like
I mean, whipping mandatory price increases is an easy way to ensure that you're not going to fail.
No, and I made the comment the other day, I hate taxes and I hate government. I mean, I paraphrase that with I love the services that government does, and I appreciate how we have to pay for them, but we have to stretch that so it's equal for everyone.
It's 3:30.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. Rex, the concept of the tax and the need for the tax. I know that you guys had some discussion. Lovelace and Fennell wanted more. You guys wanted less. You held the block with what the percentage was.
Gang of three.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what they were talking about, yeah. So what the heck.
There you go.
But looking at some of the model that is Humboldt County government today, is there much flexibility? Can you say, no, we're not going to provide this, or no, we're not going to do that? And instead of each department having a cutback, you lop off a department. Say, no, we're not going to do that one anymore. It's somebody else's area. Do you have that kind of flexibility?
No, I don't think I don't think we do. It's a great concept, and even when you do reorganization, I mean, we've looked at departments in the past. I know they've looked in the past of the coroner and the sheriff being together, like 50 of the other counties.
Yeah, all the consolidation.
Yeah, and I mean, and so you only have one body. I mean, that's been looked at, and that'll probably be looked at again. I mean, eventually down the line, there's little department structures you can, but everybody, I don't think we have anything that is a division of basket weaving or anything else, something that isn't critical. I mean, it's just, I mentioned the coroner. I mean, there's something, I mean, you can't get rid of it because we're all going to use it, even in its roundabout way. And people that use it, the families, the surviving families, if it's run very well, it's a part that makes the experience not enjoyable, just more bearable. And I mean, I get a lot of great compliments from all of our people that work in the coroner's office. I get compliments. They handled it so well at a very troubling time. Yeah, I mean, I had a letter the other day where they had a car that had to be sold that it ended up coming through the coroner. Dave went out and washed the car and cleaned the interior. He's a car guy anyway, but did all this stuff. And the family wrote back, said it was so nice of him to do that because they were from outside the area. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think Dave Parrish is, I mean, we've got a pretty good department there, but that's something that's needed.
And that's the tough thing, I think, because so many of us know so many of the folks individually and think highly of them that it becomes personal rather than, if you were talking about Madera County.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, you got a little bit more distance there, and maybe a couple of guys.
You think
we'd
get rid of Bob Taylor? Yeah, hell, I don't know.
I mean, so you're able, with that distance, to be able to make decisions that may have to be made that aren't comfortable ones, or you consider different things. Has there been a thought to bring in somebody out of the area that still knows California?
So a head cutter?
Well,
no, I know what you're saying.
Or an organizational expert. Or somebody like that, just to kind of come in as somebody who knows what has to and doesn't have to, and look at the overall and see if there is something, because we've gone through these pare downs for 30 years.
Well, I've looked, and I'm just saying, when you take a budget from $88 million down to $80 million, I mean, not a budget, but an expense sheet down, I mean, that's cutting some expenses. And then when the things start, I think the biggest thing, and if people have to understand, it's not just the lower level of services we're providing, and I think everybody can relate to it, is our healthcare costs jumped almost 30%. When you're running as many employees as the county does.
Well, a lot of people went up higher than that.
Oh, no, 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 no. So, but we're lucky because
Understand. Yeah, we're not lucky. Sympathetic.
We're lucky. Yeah, no, yeah. I'm not saying sympathetic. But the thing is, they had to make adjustments for that. The county's problem is the previous board in 2008, 9, 10, 11, you know, 11, 12, and everything, they had made these drastic cuts already. I mean, they've trimmed down quite a bit and looked at everything. And with our CAO, Philip Smith Haynes, he's pretty good at it. He comes out and just tells us pretty much, hey, this is what can, you know, this is where we're at. But when the levels of services, sometimes you think, well, we could cut that. I don't use that service. So, I mean, how critical can it be? You know, but everything was on the table. It's just when you look at it, and we put this tax out there, and it's I can pretty much tell you it's going to be public safety driven, which is district attorney.
Sure,
you know, and
that is probably not the tipping point.
No. It's just
because California's already tipped over. I mean, so what do you do? Right the ship with it? I don't think so.
People are getting their cars broken into in neighborhoods that didn't used to get broken into.
Oh.
And that's, you know, it's all
part of the drug culture.
I was talking to somebody today from your neighborhood, and they were just, they live a block from you, and they were just, so I've never seen as many people as I see.
Oh, we had a meth head knock on the door a week and a half ago.
Yeah, I mean, it's
scared Ange crazy. And that's not supposed to be what we experience in any of the neighborhoods in the area, and yet that's not a unique story anymore.
But where they go when the sheriff picks them up, I mean, it becomes a mental health issue and a health issue because when they're on meth or coming off, they have a rapid heartbeat and uncontrolled thinking of a certain amount of paranoia set up. You know, so what do we do with it? We send them to the county next to us. But no, I mean, but it's kind of funny today. To go off. Betty came in this morning and said she had a family from Oklahoma that parents and four kids, they got here, don't ask me how, but their car broke down. They got their car fixed. They needed help getting back home. They'd been living on the streets here. Well, we have a transportation assistance program that will help them, but their car wasn't insured. Betty needed $100 to insure their car, and then they could get public assistance to go home, back to their county. So they got off the street. So they got some help, and they go back to where they have a core family group, which will help them.
I mean,
yeah.
You could have called five people and gotten it.
Betty called me first, and I says, you got it. And it was so funny. I gave it to her, and Ryan, Supervisor Sundberg, came by and says, hey, Betty, how you doing? I said, oh, Rex is helping me out. And Ryan says, here, I'll split it with you, Rex. I mean, didn't ask or anything else. Because it's not... Well, it is because we want to send them out. But
I think you want $25,000 to develop that pool.
Yeah,
we get it in 2 weeks.
No, we're gonna
piece of cake.
I'm gonna.
It's the structural stuff.
It's something that hit me because we shipped out our the transportation assistant. I don't mean shipped out. It sounds terrible, but the transportation assistant program run through DHHS helped 11 people get back to their counties of birth or where their family structure is. But they had to deny a couple
because there wasn't somebody at the other end to say hi.
Because it's a dumping issue otherwise. But we have to have somebody on the other end that agrees to meet them at the bus stop, take them off, and at least.
So they had nobody there that wanted them back.
Yeah. Or they couldn't find it. Or sometimes these people don't have a family structure. I mean, foster care kids, who knows?
I would think there'd be exceptions for something like that. Well, if you're a foster kid?
They were a foster kid. Now they're 35 years old, so they've lost that relationship or whatever the case may be. But the TAP program does a great job, but there's the ones that fall through the cracks. And you're right. Betty tries to help some of those without as many guidelines as when she can, and she goes to her friends and asks for donations. She does. But she also calls. Sometimes she has a better opportunity to get a hold of people because she's Betty.
She's independent.
Yeah. Exactly. She's not as limited as we are by government controls. But the DHHS TAP program has been, and I've mentioned it before, has been very successful this last year.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:42. We'll be back with more from Rex Bone.
Mission 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. Rex, we were out of state last month. I was talking to some of the bus drivers. You know, they do the tour thing. Mm-hmm. We went out to the Arizona Memorial, so I had a guy captive for a while, which I'm sure he regretted now. But we were talking about the homelessness in Hawaii.
But I have to admit, isn't that a great tribute, though?
You know, I was more impressed with the Missouri than I was the Arizona.
Were you?
I was able to sense things there. Yeah. Building something over something that's in the water. I mean, nice.
Yeah.
Better than nothing. But for me, the Missouri is what was touching me because that's where they stood.
Yeah.
That's a whole lot different for me.
Yeah,
I tend to be more tactile.
The whole thing, because it's not that far removed from our generation because we've known people that were there.
And,
So.
So I was talking to him about their homeless problem and what do they do. And two things were shared. First one was that they are the recipients of a lot of not bus therapy, but airplane therapy from the Midwest. They'll send, you know, you want to go to Hawaii? Great, here's your $400 ticket. Don't let the door hit you. So that was something. And then the culture, and we were talking about the drug culture because they've got the Maui Waui like we've got the homegrown, and how that's tied them up.
They have
up.
A big methamphetamine problem there, too.
Not in the areas that we happen to see.
Yeah,
we were
no.
in a couple.
They're
one
pretty
was Jersey,
good about
one was not.
Yeah, they're pretty good about cleaning them out of the.
But they said that the state was applying to federal funds because of the inordinate amount of homeless that they had in their communities.
Really?
And I went, okay, big red ding went off in my head, going, if they're doing it, we sure should be able to, or at least monitor the activity so that we can run in parallel. Not the state, but the
feds,
county.
The feds.
This was at a federal level for the entire state. Because, I mean, they were inundated, but they weren't as inundated as we are. They're there, but they're not in the greater numbers as we have, and they're not aggressive.
Last time I was there, and it hasn't been that long, but I just rented a motorcycle for a day, and we went just motorcycle riding. And, you know, and it was kind of funny because you don't need a helmet, so of course I don't wear it. So, and my hairline just—I can remember it just fried because I don't think my hair below my hair since I had never seen sun before. So, with the wind blowing out, but we went to the end of the island, and it amazed me how many homeless people. Their camps were out in the middle of nowhere on the beach, and there was probably 100, 150 of them.
Thoughts to think about, and maybe something to pass on along to whoever needs to. So we'll see. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you. You'll hear a lot more about this tax issue.
I imagine
coming
we will.
Forward. And the best thing is the people are going to be able to decide where they want to be.
That's the best thing. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.